this is Kenya, and welcome to my Magical Cottage Core Life. Today, we are going to hear from my cat, apparently, from Fluffy, the Destroyer of Worlds, or as my daughter calls her, Fluffira, as well as the other cat staring at her, who is deciding not to make a noise. And I figured, since I'm making banana nut muffins today, and probably banana bread, and just basically banana-ing up, that's not a real word, by the way, it would be a good day to maybe make some rolled cookies as well. Because why not? And surprise, surprise, they won't be banana filled. They'll be Scandinavian jelly cookies. Why? Because it's really dreary outside, and unlike my husband, who doesn't seem to be bothered by it, because yes, he is actually fishing, ladies and gentlemen, even in cold, rainy weather, I am not going to be out there fishing with him. So I may as well warm the house up by baking. It also keeps us from having to run up the furnace bill more. Which, since my husband's in heating and cooling, he knows how to be judicious in its application, but why not use the ambient heat from the oven to just cut that bill down? You know, it's free real estate. That's an American idiom. Well, actually more like an audio meme. But open up your big book of stuff, because today we're going to make Scandinavian jelly cookies. So turn to the section on rolled cookies and let's get started. Now this is going to be an older recipe. It is, for some of you, you know how to make the rolled cookies. It's not going to be something new. For the rest of you, it might be a little different because it has an unusual ingredient. Cardamom. I love cardamom. Did you know that if you cook with cardamom and you keep the seed pod on, it has a different flavor than if the seed pod is off? And that there's also black cardamom? Of course you knew. You know how I know you knew? Because you listened to this show and we've covered it before. Ha ha! So, you know, I just wanted to point it out because after all my cardamoms love to bake something sometimes when they get into the mood. Well, not all of them, but just a few. And yes, that was a mom joke. Okay, so let's, I guess, begin with the basic cookie dough and go from there. So for this recipe, you're going to need a big bowl, okay? You could use a small bowl, but then you'll just have to get a big bowl later. Why do that to yourself? Let's not do that. So you're going to need some vanilla. You're going to need about a teaspoon. An egg. Please don't get a big egg. And I'm saying that for a reason. Get a small egg, at most a medium egg. People get these gigantic eggs, and then your recipe tastes eggy, or it doesn't come out quite right. No one wants those double XL eggs. Unless you're going to double the recipe. Please don't do that. The next thing is you're going to need about 3/4 cup of sugar. I'm talking about granulated sugar. If you have rock sugar, you have to smash it down. It will taste differently though. You'll need 2/3 cup of shortening. Now, you could use lard. Personally, I don't use lard unless I'm cooking for my husband because I don't eat pork. I don't like to touch pork, actually, but I do, and that is why you know I love him. My husband is Polish-German, so of course I'm going to, he's Polish-German-American. He's Polish-American, but my father-in-law is half-German and Polish, so there we go. But I touch the bacon because I love him, but if I could, I would not. But you can definitely use vegetable shortening. You need 4 teaspoons of milk. In this case, I use dried milk that I reconstitute because I'm one of those prepper people. Where's my tinfoil hat? But I find that it lasts longer and it's less likely to be of questionable freshness by the time I get around to using it, because basically I only use it for cooking or coffee. And the next thing that you need is 2 cups of all-purpose flour. Please don't use cake flour for this. Just all-purpose flour is good enough. You'll also need 1.5 teaspoons of baking powder, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, and for this recipe, 3/4 of a teaspoon of cardamom. If you want to get jazzy with it, you can add a bit of pepper. Now, don't start with me. Do not come for me. I know it's a sweet cookie, but I really like black pepper. So if you put a dash of pepper in it, nobody, it's not going to hurt. Or if you're really a forager, you could always put a few pinches of spice berry in it and change the flavor profile completely. The thing you want to remember is that when you're making something like this, whether it's a cookie and it's got a situation where you're creaming things together, do that first. Mix that together first. You don't want to put the dry stuff in until all of that is incorporated, because otherwise you get an uneven result. I can't explain to you how sad it is when you eat something that someone did not mix it properly and you have to smile at the church potluck and you're like, this is something I've never had this taste before. I'm going to remember this one. Yes, yes, that's the nice way to do it. I'm from Michigan. What do you want from me? Okay, so what you're going to have to do is cream everything first. So put together the sugar, the shortening, and the vanilla, egg, and milk, and then you're going to smoosh it all together and beat it up. Now, you can use the mixer if you want, but I think hand beating is pretty good if you don't have a mixer. Don't sweat yourself. Don't make yourself feel all, you know, that you have to have all the newest gadget. A whisk or a spoon works just fine to mix batter. Once it's all done, it makes you scrape the sides all the time and keep turning the bowl if you're doing it by hand. By the way, my mother used to put the bowl under her arm and do it that way, because that way she knew that everything was constantly being mixed. It's kind of like a half cement mixer. Once you're done with that, then and only then you're going to take the on another bowl, stir together the flour and the cardamom and the baking powder and the salt and a pinch of pepper, and then you'll mix them all together, okay? And when you do it, you're gonna like make sure it's all incorporated, and then you're going to, once it's all mixed, divide it into halves and cover it for about an hour, because by that point it's dough. And you're going to cover it for about half an hour. And if you've been paying attention to the podcast, you've got one of those beeswax wraps, and you can cover it with that. Now, here's the thing. It's not like regular dough. It's not like bread dough. You're not going to leave it out so it can get nice and warm and double in size. No, 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 no. I'm saying no, 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 like that movie Get Out. No. What you want to do is put it in the refrigerator or wherever it is you chill your dough. Maybe you have an ice box. I don't know how old-fashioned you may be. I'm not the boss of you. If you don't have a refrigerator, if you have an ice box, do what you have to do. If you have an earth-cooled system where you have a creek nearby and you have an area that you have coolant in the ground, do it that way. I am open to all manner of lifestyles when I talk about these kinds of things. So yeah, leave it out to cool. And if you're in the Midwest, then you could probably put it on your porch, just covered by a pot so it gets nice and cool. And let it chill for about, I want to say, probably about an hour. Give it an hour. That should be plenty fine. And once that's all done, now we're going to start the work part. Now, once that's all done, you're going to flour a surface. Now, some of you are thoroughly against flouring surfaces. You use only oil. Please don't do that in this recipe. Please use a floured surface. You're going to roll it out. And don't use that super skinny rolling pin. I know it, a lot of you have. Use a regular rolling pin. It's fine. If you don't have a rolling pin, get yourself a soup can and completely cover it in parchment paper and tape it and do it that way. But I prefer you did not. But use what you have. But roll it out to about 1/8 of an inch. If you are south of me in Canada, and yes, because I am in Metro Detroit, I can say south. I am not in my mother's house, so I can't say Detroit. Oh, wow, that just reminded me. I can't be at my mother's house because my mother has passed on. But and she lived in Detroit proper. But okay, just a moment of melancholy. Good thing we're baking some happy cookies. Okay, but you're going to roll it out to about an eighth of an inch. And if you're Canadian, you'll use the metric system. And you can probably make it a little faster if you just stack three toonies up on top of each other. Or, you know, yeah. I think it's the loonie and the toonie. So stack three loonies up. Yep, three loonie coins. And that should be fine. And that should be plenty thick enough. Just a tiny bit thinner. Just a hair thinner. And this is what we're going to use to start cutting up our cookies. Once you've got everything ready to go, you're going to start cutting these cookies out. Here's where the work comes in. You're going to have to get a 2-inch round cookie cutter for a traditional cookie, and you're going to cut it into about 60 circles. 30 of them, you're going to put like a half a teaspoon of jelly on it. Now you can use red currant or you can use other jellies. I like frog jam, so I'm probably going to put frog jam in mine. But you know what? I've got some, well, no, I just thought about it. I was going to say I could use my crabapple jelly, but as we know from previous episodes, it is still crabapple syrup. I never did get around to recasting with the pectin. I could do that today, but I'm not going to do it because I'm not going to, and that's why. But you can make other things too, but for this recipe, it's supposed to be that flavor. Well, I am going to do what I want to do. I'm going to pick a different jelly because I want to, and that's just all. But keep in mind that because it has cardamom, you want something that's going to go along with that. So don't go too wild out there. Don't go too far. Calm it down, Hasselhoff. You can't save the world with frog jam, but I think you'll like it. Then once you've got 30 of these with a little jelly in the center, just a tiny bit, remember it's half a teaspoon, then you're going to put the other cookie halves on top and put a cross or an X on the top. And that way you have a layered cookie. It's like, you know, the jelly's in the middle. Then you're going to take a fork, go all the way around the edges to crimp it closed because you don't want them exploding. They shouldn't look like little sandwich cookies. They should be jelly cookies, which means they're a cookie filled with jelly or jam and they have a little cross or you know, cut out in the top and the jelly's there for you to know that it's there. Once you've got that all done, it's time to get ready to bake. Put it on 375 degrees Fahrenheit. Okay, Fahrenheit. We do that here, Fahrenheit. And you're going to just let it bake for about 10 minutes. But watch it very closely. You don't want them to burn. Once that's done, take them out and cool them on a wire rack. Not everybody has a wire rack. So if you don't have a wire rack, don't despair. Get yourself a couple of kitchen bowls and lay them out that way on top on a different cookie sheet and let it cool off on a cooler cookie sheet or on a plate. Now, I know that we're not supposed to do that because what winds up happening is the cookie sticks to the bottom. If you're worried about that, put parchment paper on the plate. Put the cookies on the parchment paper. Put the plate over the top of the two bowls so it has air moving and deal with it that way. You could put ice in those bowls too so there's cool air coming from the bottom. It'll be fine. Don't worry about it. Or get yourself a wire rack. It's $1.25 at Dollar Tree. It's fine. You know, figure it out. It's great. That's what I always was told. It was like, figure it out, can ya? I was like, okay, I'll figure it out. I'm sorry, I'll figure it out. And but I don't tell my friends to figure it out. I say, we can figure it out together. And that's what we're doing. And you're just going to do that. And you're going to have to do a few at a time. You're not going to be able to do the whole thing unless you have one of those big industrial cookie sheets, in which case I'm jelly. I'm jealous and jelly and jelly cookie jealous. But and you're going to have about 4.5 dozen 2-inch cookies. It's going to be great. You're going to have so much fun. Actually, since you put them on top of each other, it's going to be about 2.5 dozen cookies because they're jelly cookies. And that's it. That's it. Don't be jelly of my jelly cookies. Thank you. once we're done with the baking and everything, and everything's cooled down, you're going to take yourself a sewing kit. No, I'm just kidding. You're going to need a cookie tin, maybe, or an old coffee can. And you put the cookies in there so they stay fresh and so that you can hide them from your daughter. It's great. It'll be fun. It'll be great. I know that those Danish cookie tins are supposed to be just for the Danish cookies, but you and I know that they are for sewing kits, and they will always be sewing kits forever and ever. Amen. I love to share recipes with my friends, and we're friends, right? And I would love to hear how your cookies came out. Don't forget to put a little pepper in there because it's going to give it some kick. And I would love to hear about your recipes. Give me a shout out on my Magical Cottagecore Life on Facebook, and I look forward to seeing you here next time.